Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Jackson Vunganyi. Sonny Young is taking a break away from his mic. And today for our May 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports, we are bringing you a special broadcast of our Nothing But Net podcast, looking at the finals for the Basketball Africa League. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm joined in studio by my friend Mokbel Yabaro,
my partner in crime.
We've been doing this.
It's been a little while. We've been doing a lot of back-to-backs, lady.
Bro, I say Mokbel is the brother with the extra spin on the three-pointer.
Come on, you know. Nothing but net.
Four teams faced off in the semifinals at the BK Arena in a race to the finals. Angola's Petro de Luanda went up against Senegal's AS Douan, and Egypt's El Ahly took on Stade Malien. Let's break down the action so far by checking out some of the highlights of the games. AS Douan was leading by 8 in the second quarter when Petro's Diabate passes to Pedro, who finds Goncalves for a 3. But it was a close one in the third, with Petro up by 1 when Senegal's Crawford tries for a 3 and misses. But Amaning gets the rebound, spins around and gets it in. Come fourth quarter, Senegal goes on a run with a 9-point lead as Ndou passes to Amaning, who finds Boise and extends his team's lead. Boise at it again with another 3-pointer. Down by 14 with 6 minutes to go, Angola tries to get some points up when Goncalves finds Pedro for a one-handed dunk. 20 seconds left in the game and Angola down by 6. Marias finds Hollis for 2, making it a close game. But it was AS Douan who came out on top, 92-86, and is headed to the first BAL finals. A close game for the second matchup started off with a few lead changes. Stade Malien up by 2 in the second quarter when Alalis Gendi loses the ball and Keita picks it up and passes to Berthe for a dunk. Egypt down by 3 in the third when Zahran finds Amin, who makes a 3 from downtown to tie the game. Mali up by 3 again when Berthe gets close to the basket, but a huge block by Orabi, who was in the right place at the right time to keep Mali from extending their lead. Mali down by 4 points with 6 minutes to go and Keita to Berthe with a turnaround jumper that's good, making it a 2-point game. 16 seconds left to finish. Egypt up by just 3 when Berthe tries to make a pass, but Sami makes a steal and finds Amin for 2 more. But El Ahly triumphs over Stade Malien with a final score of 78-73, which means Egypt versus Senegal for the championship this Saturday. Those were some of the highlights from yesterday's matchups. Mokbel, what a series this has been, especially after that play between Petro de Luanda, the first big upset of the semifinals. AS Douan playing a physical game to beat the tournament favorites, Petro de Luanda, 92-86. Petro had been undefeated till this point, but they seem to have run out of gas, my friend. No pun intended.
They ran out of petrol? Man, and you know the funny thing about it?
Did you see that coming?
No. I definitely didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody in the arena outside of the, you know, the AS Douan fans, you know, back home cheering from Senegal were expecting it.
Right.
But, you know, I definitely did think that the AS Douan side are a very well-coached side. They've gone through adversities. They've seen the challenges, and they've been able to make it out. I think the problem with the Petro side has been that they've been able to be undefeated the entire time. When you don't get a loss, you don't know what it feels like
to
lose.
Absolutely.
So you kind of come in with this level of complacency sometimes.
And confidence.
A little bit too much confidence.
Too much confidence, you know? Yes. Cockiness.
They had that swagger, you know, but I think AS Douan really came out and punched early. There was a gap in that game of some, like, double-digit leads for them. You know, Petro started making their way back into it, but it was a little bit too late, a little too little too late.
Absolutely.
And AS Douan was able to finish them off.
Like you said, Petro finished third in the first edition of the BAL in 2021. They were runners-up last year, losing to Monastir. The team was led by veteran players Carlos Moraes and Childe Dandawo, but they were unable to stop AS Douan, led by Chris Crawford, who scored all 7 of his free throws and ended with 26 points.
Former
University of Memphis guard Chris Crawford.
First game was very good for us. We came out, we executed our game plan on the defensive end. I feel like we did a great job of playing together as a team, offense and defense. So just need to correlate to the next game, and we can build from there.
Listen, Marcus is one of those players that really is a floor general. He comes out, he gets the job done. He executes. You know, he's the type of scorer that will go out and score, but it's meaningful buckets, right? It's not just stat padding. I don't want to put a 30 on somebody in a meaningless game. He scores his points. That's why he's one of the leading scorers in the BAL this season. So exciting player. Glad to see what he was able to do. As you mentioned, University of Memphis Tiger. So, yeah, man, he got the job done, but he said the job is not done yet. He has, you know, one more game to finish off.
Absolutely. Another player who was instrumental in the AS Douan win over Petro was Jean-Jacques Boise, scoring 16 of his 17 free throws and a game-high 28 points. Boise is confident that the trophy belongs to them. This is what he said.
I think it's lit, like... It's a good energy. The stadium is nice. Boys are brand new. Court brand new. New champions coming.
Listen, AS Douan, I did not count them as contenders to this trophy at the beginning. Okay. I was surprised. They caught me off guard. I think I was as surprised as Petro de Luanda after I lost. You know, the shock, the shell shock after you lose to a guy that you thought... You could beat them. A clear
victory, I guess. No. The interesting thing about it is, though, the Sahara Conference was so tightly knit and so close that, you know, every team that advanced literally had the same record. Goal difference is the only thing that separated the four teams that went there. So when you have that type of a setup coming into it, you know, you feel you understand the games that you won, the games that you didn't win, what you needed to do, adjustments, changes. The coaching staff were really tested.
Absolutely.
Coach Neto from the Petro de Luanda side is a very well-versed coach, but I feel like this season he did not feel that loss. Even that buzzer beater that they won against Al Ahly, which was one of the most challenging games for them, he did not feel that loss. Sometimes you need that sting of that loss to feel like,
yes,
I don't want to feel that again, you know? But they didn't feel that, unfortunately, for them.
So when they came into this game with the AS Douan,
they're feeling too comfortable. Yeah. Even that the ABC Fighters put up a really good fight against them and showed that this Petro team is not as strong as we may have thought coming into the tournament. So, you know...
So either Petro is, you know... I guess losing momentum or other teams are getting better.
It's the overconfidence from their side, but also other teams watching film and seeing what it is that the teams that had success against them were able to do.
Right.
And then they were able to get it done.
So when you're coming into any play as an underdog, you have a chip on your shoulder, you have a point to prove. I'm quite sure AS Douan was like, we are not losing this one.
No, absolutely not. And then they thought to themselves, right? And we were mentioning it earlier on the Sunny Side of Sports, that the Sahara Conference hosting team is going up against the Nile Conference hosting team,
right?
Which is amazing, you know. It's like it kind of like seemed like it was written on a script.
Absolutely.
Did we get the script ahead of time or what?
The North versus South dynamic.
Right. No,
absolutely.
It's gonna be fun.
Another game that we watched yesterday, which was the second semifinal. You and I were in studio for like 3 hours talking about this. Al Ahly beating Stade Malien 78-73 in a spectacular contest of wills. The Malien side looked like they had this in the bag. However, they failed to deliver, to convert on their major plays, missing those free throws that you say you should not miss. The free throws.
They're free.
Also lost Diarra. Dangerous Diarra fouled out at the end. Yeah. What do you think? Why did they lose this game?
I think the inexperience. This is a debutant team, as we've mentioned before. It's a very young team led by three players that are under the age of 22. So sometimes the young players play with a lot of aggression and a lot of speed, but they're not really poised. They don't really, you know, they don't really take care of the ball. They had a lot lot of turnover situations that may have, you know, caused that to happen as well. But they had, you know, some key plays from Amayo, you know, who's a veteran type of player, you know,
absolutely,
a bit older, bit more poised than the younger star. So he was able to kind of lead them in the right direction. But a flaw of both sides, honestly, for the Stade Malien side and Al Ahly, both were what you just mentioned. Free throws from both parties. If either side had shot better from the free throw line, the games wouldn't have been close.
Absolutely.
Either direction.
Absolutely. That's kind of a gift that you should really be able to convert. And speaking of Kelvin Amayo, he had a great game yesterday. He was fired up after getting that technical foul, but at the end of the day, he came away with 15 points for Stade Malien, and this is what he said.
And they gave me a technical foul and I flopped, and I felt like they was flopping a lot. So I'm like, why are we not doing techs on both sides? So, I mean, it was a good game. I don't want to say that. I feel like I gave my team a lot of energy. I don't feel like I gave nobody negative energy, because I feel like I'm always the first person to help them out.
No, not you. Just the number of techs being called and the fouls being called. That negatively affected, like, the...
I feel like yes. The refs got to understand it's a playoff game, and there shouldn't be a whistle. So everybody should enjoy good basketball. It's a high level basketball game, playoff game, and everybody should just enjoy it. I mean, so yeah, a little bit.
Yes, we are back. This is Nothing But Net on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi.
Joined by Mukbil Yabaro.
Yes, sir. It is finals of the Basketball Africa League this Saturday in Kigali, Rwanda. The action starts at BK Arena. We'll bring it to you live right here on the Voice of America. I'll be in studio. Maybe Mukbil might sneak in and say hello to all of you guys. He's been here with me the whole time, but it's going to be an interesting matchup. What are we looking forward to?
Oh, it's exciting. You know, you have the clash of, like you said, the Sahara Conference versus the Nile Conference representatives on both sides. This is an opportunity for a sub-Saharan team to finally hoist that trophy up in AS Douan. But then Al Ahly also has shown us that they're a strong team. They're a team that was able to knock off Zamalek, that was in the BAL for two seasons. So now they jump in and say, hey, we're the top dogs in Egypt. So not only are we able to knock off a championship contending team, but we're also able to get to the finals.
And remember that Nile Conference game between where
Petro.
They played at Petro.
Oh, yeah.
They lost just by a few seconds.
Literally, the refs...
Like a second, I guess.
The refs had to go to the VAR, basically,
yes.
To the camera to make sure that his fingers were still not on the ball.
El Ahly is an institution in itself, whether it's in football, soccer, or basketball. And you can tell they have the resources to get the good players. Players like Nuni. Talk to me about Omot Nuni.
Man, I feel like in the game that he just played against Stade Malien, and Stade Malien's coaching staff and the players, give them credit and kudos. They really came out with a plan to make sure that Nuni Omot is not the one who beats us tonight. He had a, you know, not a stellar performance to say the least bit, but sometimes you are supposed to just be the decoy player.
Right.
If you're the go-to guy and everybody is watching you, but you're able to, you know, get opportunities for your teammates.
Other guys, yes.
Ehab
came in and, you know, Ehab 21 points.
Stepped up, you
MVP.
Know.
MVP.
Did I expect Ehab to put up 21?
I didn't either.
I didn't know Ehab was going to score more than 5 points.
With it.
Ehab put up 4 points in his last game.
In the last game, absolutely.
If he had 10 points, he would have been already, like, outdone himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But 21 really shows that, man, this team is a lot deeper than we may have even expected.
Absolutely.
They have a lot more skill, because putting up 21 points in a semifinal is not easy.
Ehab was able to plug that hole where Nuni was not feeling himself.
Right.
Either, you know, sometimes players have those slumps.
Oh, of course.
It could be that game, or the fact that the coaches on the other side
said, defending.
Nuni is the man to defend. Put four guys on him. Put four bodies on him. Surround him. Make it difficult for him. But if you have role players, other guys like Ehab stepping in, then it will be difficult for the team to actually win.
Yeah, no, if you saw the guard play of Al Ahly, you know, led by, like you said, Ehab, as well well as Thompson, right? Those two, that's a very nice backcourt, very solid, very poised. They were playing the game at their tempo, making sure that they're trying to get the touches for the big man to try to get Nooney going. But every time you would never see one-on-one with Nooney. Nooney would get doubled or there would be help defense or something. But the times where he would go one-on-one, he would get it easy to the basket or go straight to the free throw line. So they realized that it's not, you know, you can't allow him to do that. Let him get doubled and kick the ball out and then have Ehab or Thompson or anybody else beat me. But the other guys really came up and they were ready for the assignment and they got the job done.
And for third place, Stade Malien will be playing Petro de Luanda.
Oh, yeah.
You say you call it the game that you don't want to play, but you have to play?
It's the most important game that nobody wants to play.
You don't want to be fourth or third. You don't want to be third in the first place.
You don't want to play the game. But then when you're playing the game, you can't afford to lose. So it's like...
That guy gets on the podium too. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
But it's like, yeah, but you see the guy who always gets third is just kind of like, man, I didn't play in the finals. I'm really not that happy about it. But at least I'm on the podium.
Right.
You know, the fourth place guy, that's a wrap. You know?
So how does Petro approach this game? What is their mind frame?
Petro's mindset is we cannot afford to lose. Petro has
twice
to let us
in a row. Petro, after winning all the games and then the last two critical games,
man,
you lose them.
Petro has to show us and say, listen, man, we got caught slipping. It was like we became like deer with headlights, you know. We got caught up. We were not expecting this to happen to us. And kudos to Erdogan for beating us.
Absolutely.
But Stade Malien, we're gonna show you. So look to see Stade Malien have a long night because Petro's gonna come out really with a vengeance to make sure that this was their BAL to lose. That's the problem. Mm. So now that they lost, it's like, man, they're gonna show, you know, Stade Malien everything that they have. So it's gonna be a long night for Stade Malien, but they, you know, they've shown us that they have the ability from a coaching perspective to stop guys
to adjust.
Their adjustments are gonna be good. They're gonna watch film. You just got to stop Carlos Moraes. The other players have not shown us yet that they, even though they are quality players, they haven't shown us they could step up yet. So we expect to see, you know, John Pedro, Chile Dindao, Gonclaves, the guys who we've known who are a staple for that.
Who play for the national team. They play together
national Angola team.
They kind of know each other. The chemistry been going.
They have to really show up for Petro in order for Petro to win this game.
In case you're just joining us, this is Nothing But Net on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi together with
Mukbil Yabaro.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What impact do beauty pageants and titles have in advocating for social and economic issues in our societies? This week on Our Voices, we'll speak to beauty queens and examine how pageantry platforms in Africa and the diaspora are used to bring positive change. Join the conversations Wednesdays at 1900 UTC on the Voice of America.
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is the sunny side of sports
right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
And we are back. This is Nothing But Net. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm joined by Mukbil Yabaro. We are talking Basketball Africa League. This is the third year, third season. Game's gotten better.
Officiating has gotten better. Coaching has gotten better. Everything is on the up and up. Crowd participation, the amount of fans that are in the stadiums are getting better. So we're really seeing, you know, this is still the infancy of this league, but it's moving in the right trajectory.
Absolutely. We're watching an evolution of a tournament that is going to be one to watch in the coming years. A tournament that is geared to attracting a young crowd of Africans, Africa being the youngest continent, tapping into that energy, that demographic dividend to use developmental parlance.
Oh, yeah.
But it is just encouraging to see that, you know, the games, the caliber of games that we watched last year and the year before last, has shifted, and now we are seeing much more experience. We're seeing better chemistry in the teams, yeah. Even the debuting teams like El Ahly.
Right. And Stade Malien.
And Stade Malien.
Right.
Absolutely.
They're showing us that, you know, there has been a level of high-level skilled games and players in the continent as well, right? So, like, sometimes we see the go-to players are the players that are the imports. But, you know, we have a very good balance this year between imports and players that are of African descent, that are from the continent, that really, you know, are showing us that there's a lot of infrastructure that still has to be built, but still high-quality players are still here.
Absolutely.
In the next couple of years, expect 5 to 6 years, you'll see the Basketball Africa League will be the leagues that will be introducing players to the world, and they will be making the jump from the BAL to the NBA. I'm telling
Absolutely.
You right
that
now.
That pipeline.
Five to 6 years is all it's going
to
take.
I hope that instead of jumping to the NBA, maybe create a stronger, a stronger league on the continent so that we attract and also grow our best.
I think we will get to that point, but the thing about it is, I don't think we get to a place where there's anything above the NBA
Absolutely
when it comes
not.
To basketball,
Absolutely
right?
Not.
So even though we have like FIBA, you know, basketball in Europe is amazing. It's high level. It's high quality. There's other leagues around the world too, Asian leagues as well. So there's so many different leagues. Even South American leagues are doing really well. But I think every player's dream is always going to be to make it to the NBA. So the key is, can we have a high-quality league that can basically be on the same level as the Euro leagues and the Asian leagues, and then we can kind of move from there? Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think that the NBA Basketball Africa League's purpose is not necessarily to go against or be a bigger platform than the NBA.
Compete, yeah.
Yeah, it's just as long as the goal would be for it to be on the same level as the Euro League, the Asian Leagues, the South American Leagues, and it be, like you said, a pipeline for players to play there that are from there. They don't have to come from elsewhere. You know, sometimes, unfortunately for us, players from the continent have to go and play Division I basketball or go to Europe or go somewhere else before
to get that validation and experience.
Absolutely. Right. But once the infrastructure is built, as it is being built now, we'll be able to have the BAL be a direct pipeline for players to go straight to the league,
Absolutely.
Which I think definitely will be an amazing thing. And I don't think it's that far off, maybe 5 to 6 years, because we're seeing even high quality prospects like a Zaire Wade making his way, leaving the G League to come over here. So it's gaining that excitement from other players all over the world. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. This is Nothing But Net on The Voice of America. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Nothing But Net on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. I'm joined by Mokbel Yabaro here in studio. Now, before their loss in the BAL semifinals, Angolan basketball giants Petro de Luanda beat Abidjan Basketball Club, ABC, that's the ABC Fighters, at the BK Arena in a tense game that ended 88-84. The Abidjan-based team made their debut in the tournament as a first-time participant, beating Dakar's own AS Douan, who ultimately made it to the player finals by beating Petro de Luanda. ABC Fighters coach Liz Mills is a friend of the show, and she chatted with Mokbel Yabaro and Sonny Young about the BAL, her assessment of the Egyptian side Al Ahly that are in the finals, and the BAL Elevate program. This is what she said.
Look, I thought Al Ahly came out really well yesterday, and what's even more exciting for them is their point guard, Didn't even play. He's the national team point guard, shooting guard, and he's just amazing to watch. So it'll be interesting to see when he rejoins the team in the next couple of games. And but Ahali is a team with a lot of experience. Every single local player on that team plays for the Egyptian national team. You've already mentioned Nuni Amut. Corey Webster plays for the New Zealand national team. And Thompson has played in Egypt before and has had a decorated career. So as a club, it's participated in the former FIBA Club Championships, which is basically the BAL before the NBA stepped in. And so this is, even though it's their first BAL experience, it's not their first continental experience. And, but, you know, the BAL is a completely different club tournament than we've seen in Africa before. So getting used to the bigger stage, the bright lights, and the level of exposure is something that both teams will need to acclimatize themselves to. And
well, as for the entire BAL coach, do you think there are any distinct advantages that veteran teams possess over the newcomers?
A lot of these teams have never participated in stadiums like this, never have had the same media exposure like this, haven't played in crowds like this. So when you've got teams who have participated in the BAL before, nothing phases them. Nothing's new. They've been here. They've done that. And I think that's a distinct advantage. Now, in terms of the Elevate program across the BAL, it's a really unique unique project that the BAL have undertaken. You wouldn't see this in EuroLeague or the NBA, but I think it's the right move for Africa. With the NBA Academy, it's important that these young players get an opportunity to play with elite clubs. And although, you know, some of these players, you know, end up just training with a team, just even being amongst men and understanding what a professional men's team does day to day is an experience that will elevate their game, regardless of whether they get on and off the court. You know, eventually I see this project falling away and we'll just see Elevate kids getting recruited straight out of the academy. And that's what you want to see, what we see in Europe and Australia, where you have academies that feed into senior club teams. And I think it's a great idea by the BAL right now. It's exactly what we need. And, you know, it's showcasing Africa's young talent to the world. And hopefully, you know, this is appreciated and these young gentlemen get an opportunity that they will thrive in.
And we are back. This is Nothing But Net on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi. I'm joined by Mokbil Yabaro as we are closing out. Mokbil, Saturday is the finals in Kigali, Rwanda. We would love to be inside the BK Arena.
Oh, yeah.
With Sheikh Thierry on them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're here. This is the final podcast for the season.
I believe
First of all, I believe we
might.
Kudos to you.
Yes, I think we might do.
We did it.
I think we might do one more.
We might do one more.
Just to close it out. Little wrap up.
Tune in right here, voaafrica.com. We'll be here. But so, Mokbil, these two great teams, who are you taking your claim on?
If I were to choose between Al Ahly and AS Douan, as both teams are very competitive, either the game can go either way, I would have to stick with AS Douan. I've stuck with them coming out of the Sahara Conference. I really liked what they've been able to do. They continuously keep getting better, and you know they're stepping up. And when you expect them to lose, they find a way to win.
That's
so,
when they surprise you.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what they do and how they finish off the tournament.
Absolutely. And with that, we come to the end of the show today. This has been Nothing But Net on the Voice of America. Mokbil, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, sir.
Or I joined you.
We joined each other.
Remember to connect with us at voaafrica.com. You can watch previous episodes and catch up on the highlights of the games. I will see you next time. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Peace, everybody.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars.
This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.